Now I'll speak on the Brahminical initiation. For that we shall chant the verse which is there from Srimad Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada often quoted. So if you'd like to chant after me, please do. Canto 7, chapter 11, text 35. Yasya yalakshanam proktam pungso varna bhivyanjakam yadanyatrapi drishyeta tattenaiva vinirdishet yasya yalakshanam proktam pungso varna bhivyanjakam yadanyatrapi drishyeta tattenaiva vinirdishet. Translation: if one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra as described above, even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. Simply put, it means that, well, the purport will be there, which will describe that, but just in a nutshell, the meaning is that one should be known as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra or other according to his symptoms, qualities. Even if someone is, anyway, it'll be described in the purport. Purport, here it is clearly stated by Narada Muni that one should not be accepted as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra according to birth. For although this is going on now, it is not accepted by the Shastras. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Chartur Varnyang Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. Thus, the four divisions of society, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, are to be ascertained according to qualities and activities. If one was born in a Brahmana family and has acquired the Brahminical qualifications, he is to be accepted as a Brahmana. Otherwise, he should be considered a Brahma Bandhu. Brahma Bandhu means someone who is born in a Brahmin family but does not have the qualifications of a Brahmana. Similarly, if a Shudra acquires the qualities of a Brahmana, although he was born in a Shudra family, he is not a Shudra because he has developed the qualities of a Brahmana. He should be accepted as a Brahmana. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to develop these Brahminical qualities. Regardless of the community in which one was born, if one develops the qualities of a Brahmana, he should be accepted as a Brahmana, and he then may be offered the order of sannyas. Unless one is qualified in terms of the Brahminical symptoms, one cannot take sannyas. In designating a person a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, birth is not the essential symptom. This understanding is very important. Herein, Narada Muni distinctly says that one may be accepted according to the caste of his birth if he has the corresponding qualifications, but otherwise he should not. One who has attained the qualifications of a Brahmana, regardless of where he was born, should be accepted as a Brahmana. Similarly, if one has developed the qualities of a Shudra or a Chandala, regardless of where he was born, he should be accepted in terms of those symptoms. Yasya yallakshanam proktam pungso varna bhivyanjakam yadanyatrapi drishyeta tattenaiva vinirdishet. If one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, as described above, even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those systems of classification. This is a very important point, as Srila Prabhupada points out, which is central to the Krishna consciousness movement of the present age in its endeavors to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world and give spiritual, godly, Krishna conscious leadership to society. Srila Prabhupada often said that he wanted to create a new class of brahmanas who can give guidance to human society. Brahmanas are required in human society to give proper guidance. And the example is there that just as a body may theoretically be able to function if it has arms, legs, trunk, and all these different parts of the body, the arms and the legs may be very strong, the stomach may have good digestive capacity, but unless the head is in order, then the body will not be able to properly function. It might be able to function some way or other, but not properly. So the head in order, the idea is that the brahmanas are the head of society. They have to give proper guidance to the society so that it can function properly. And function properly, the head has to be in order to understand what it means that the body will function properly. The individual body should act, every body should act for the sake of attaining Krishna consciousness, and the whole human society should be centered on that goal, to give that understanding of what the goal should be and of how to progress toward that. A class of brahmanas is required. Formerly it was understood, generally accepted, that someone is a brahmana who's born in a brahmana family. And there were many brahmana families who gave the proper training to their children so that they could be actual brahmanas. And we saw last night two such brahmanas who their family tradition is going on for many generations. And in each generation, the members of the family are trained in such a manner that they are Krishna conscious and can give guidance to others. But generally all over the world, the leaders of society, the intellectuals, they are far from Krishna consciousness. They have no proper idea of the goal of life and how to attain it. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to create a new class of brahmanas for understanding this knowledge and for spreading it widely also. So who can be those brahmanas? Srila Prabhupada first tried to preach his Krishna consciousness movement in India. He didn't get a proper response. He went to America and preached Krishna consciousness. Many people came forward and he started to train them in Krishna consciousness. And he brought Western-born devotees to India. And especially in the early days of the Krishna consciousness movement, going on under Srila Prabhupada, there was a lot of resistance to Srila Prabhupada's having given Brahminical initiation to persons who are not only from non-Brahmana families, but who were entirely outside the Vedic culture. There was, in one conversation recently, the conversation was in the 1970s, I was recently going through it. It was stated about one Swami who was not unique in saying that, but he was outspoken in saying that Swami Bhaktivedanta is ruining the Hindu religion by bringing in people from outside and calling them brahmanas. Shortly after Srila Prabhupada left this world, on the cover of the Illustrated Weekly of India, which some of the older people here may remember is a very prestigious magazine. On the cover was a picture photo of Western devotees, specifically that Onkar was the French head pujari at Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, had a photo of him, and the banner, the wording there, the blurb on the front cover was "Saviors of Hinduism." So some people were thinking that this is ruining Hinduism, and other people, after some time, thought "Saviors of Hinduism." Of course, Srila Prabhupada wanted to save people from Hinduism as well as saving Hinduism from Hinduism. Sometimes he spoke of Hindu culture, but he also said different things. He said he praised the culture, but at the same time he called it a hodgepodge of speculative ideas going on under the influence of the Mayavad philosophy. So this idea was very prominent previously, not so much now. It's nowadays widespread among Hindus that a Brahmana is by qualification. One major reason for this change, as I perceive it, I perceive two major reasons why, although previously it was widely thought, and there are still some who say that Westerners cannot be Brahmanas, unless you're born in a Brahmin family, you can't be a Brahmana. It's the tide has turned, and many people accept that they can actually be Brahmanas by qualification. Now, one major reason for that is that Srila Prabhupada's books have been distributed widely. Another reason is that people who are serious about practicing their dharma, they perceive that the ISKCON devotees, even though from the Western countries, are following the tenets of what they consider to be their religion in a better way than we do. Better way than we do means they know we have these principles, rising early in the morning, seriously practicing sadhana, following the four regulated principles, even not drinking coffee, which is a big thing for the Brahmanas of South India. It's become absolutely integrated into the Brahminical culture. Even to the extent that the coffee advertisements are made with photos of South Indian Brahmanas endorsing the coffee. Because thought, if a South Indian Brahmana thinks our coffee is good, it must be good. So last night you heard the Murali Bhatta. He, at least twice, he referred to ISKCON as a very disciplined organization. So respect is there because of the qualities. When it's factually seen that many people who are born in Brahmana families they don't have these qualities, they're not serious about spiritual life, they're very materialistic, and it's clear that if you consider someone who's born in a Brahmana family, who's 99% of his interest is in earning money, which is very prominent, especially among people born in Brahmana families, according to my observation. Very interested in earning money and doesn't know any Shastra, doesn't wear a thread, might have had it put on just before he was married because It's cheaper to put the Upanayanam ceremony together with the marriage. They're both expensive functions, so just do it all in one day after the other. He doesn't wear a thread. He may even be eating meat, or to make a point that I'm eating meat, he may even eat beef, just to show I'm not just eating meat, I'm eating beef. Okay, let's not take it to such an extreme. Just say that most brahmanas are not eating beef, brahmanas by birth. But they may not be, they may not have the same knowledge of Gita and Bhagavatam and be seriously practicing. It's hard to find those who are seriously practicing. So if we take, on the one hand, someone who's born in a brahmana family and really doesn't have much interest in all these things, and we see many times we do programs, just like I was in South Tamil Nadu, and we did a small program in the Agraharam, that means the areas where the brahmanas lived, but none of the brahmanas came. It was people from other castes who came. The brahmanas weren't interested in our program. People of other castes were interested. So if we see someone who, although born in a brahmana family, he has no real interest in spiritual life or even religious life, and we see someone who's year after year after year after year practicing very seriously Krishna consciousness, well, who is actually qualified as a spiritual leader and as a brahmana? And it's an obvious thing. Someone may have come from a background where they were eating meat and drinking wine and doing all kinds of wrong things. But if they left that far behind long ago, and they're practicing very seriously, and by their activities and their earnestness in preaching Krishna consciousness, that they're able to bring others into Krishna consciousness, then it should be obvious. It is obvious to anyone, except if they're willingly blind, that who is an actual brahmana. Now, it may say that it should be by birth, and we can understand in some ways, because we can understand why it's difficult for people to give that up where they have such a long tradition. Tathacharya, he said that, what was his name, Vasudeva? He said that he's in the 46th generation from, who is that from, Natha Muni? 46th generation. And all of his forefathers were great devotees. We understand that it's not that he's like that just by chance. He was sent in that womb by the arrangement of Krishna, and he had the training and the culture. And we can understand, it's the parampara, the vansha parampara is going on. So we can understand that if in the Madhva Sampradaya, and even in the Smarta Sampradaya, in families where their people are taking the spiritual life seriously, that it's they may not even want to admit to themselves that most of the members of our sampradaya, then the Brahmins, they're not going to live as our forefathers have. And even I asked Vaidyanarayan Prabhu, who's from a smarter lineage, that did you study the Vedas? No. Did your father study? No. Already it's broken for some time. The whole, that Brahmana means they should study the Veda. Otherwise, there's no meaning. So, now that you're taking, those of you who are taking Brahminical initiation, you may know that I don't just give it out here willy-nilly. I want to see if someone's taken the Harinam Diksha. Are they seriously practicing? Are they studying Shastra? Because we want to create a class of brahmanas who can lead society. Lead society means on the basis of shastric understanding. So a brahmana has to study the shastra. Without that, there's no meaning. So you all study Srila Prabhupada's books, the essence of shastra. We can best understand shastra in the modern age through Srila Prabhupada's books. The books he has given are the essence of all the shastra. Akhila Shruti Saram, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sarvaveda Itihasanam, Saram Saram Udahritam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the extracted essence of all these shastras. So we can best understand all these shastras through Srila Prabhupada's book. So anyone is welcome to chant Hare Krishna, maybe initiated into the chanting of Hare Krishna. Those going to be brahmanas really have to live as brahmanas and study shastra, teach shastra, and in this way become leaders of human society, leading them back to Godhead. Hare Krishna.